It's time to start the show and talk about the sports we saw. Inside jokes and takes from Danger and Battaglia. Bills and the Sabres and the Amherst. Who gave a microphone to these jerks? G's a big timer, a social misfit. Clueless to the title of the biggest bus gang hits. Chuck Muncie's goons have the last say, so thanks for your time, Mr. Mayo. Danger likes his cold ones and he likes his bears. But this is Rochester, cute Francesa.
Normal kiss.
He's critical of Sean, he's critical of Alan.
Of course he married Sandy, cause she's Italian.
Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. With Danger and Battaglia.
Yeah, I always get fired up. We're ready to go. It's a Thursday afternoon, and you found the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, Rochester's only local sports talk show. Thanks for joining us at 95.7 FM, AM 950, the free-to-download Odyssey app. Our viewers on our YouTube channel, at The Fan Rochester, on Twitch, at The Fan Rochester, even on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. I'm Mike Danger, and I'm worried about my buddy.
I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I'm not upset at all that the Milwaukee Brewers did something they hadn't done since 1982 last night, and that's a rally after they were down in the seventh, and you knew that they were going to, as soon as they threw that up, I'm not upset, Danger, that Sean Manaea is pitching well, but you pulled him early. I'm not upset that you brought in some kid. I'm not upset that, hey, here comes the meat of the order. It's going to be up in the eighth, not the ninth. Maybe you would want to bring in Edward Diaz in the eighth. I'm not upset.
Are you familiar with Frank the Tank? You know who Frank the Tank is? From Barstool, the Mets fan.
Yeah, big oafy guy. I'm like, hopefully I don't get to that way.
I'm worried about you. I don't want you to get to that point. I don't want you to start having to chew on something just to calm your nerves or to calm your anxiety. You're not there. And by the way, he's not doing your fan base any favors by posting after every single game.
He's not a real guy, just like the Ravens guy isn't. Like, that's... you realize, no, that... there are some people in this business that this is their shit shtick. You know, it's not. Yeah. I mean, like, legitimately, I'm watching this and I'm talking with other Met fans that are, while this is happening, like, oh, this is just perfect. So as soon as, Torino hits the tying home run, I'm like, this is not going to go their way. And you know what, Danger? I turned it off. As soon as, like, the ball went over the wall 5-3, I'm like, well, Devin Williams is coming in the ninth. I'll just kind of.
That was it. You were done.
Yep. That was it. So
everybody else got it done in two. The Mets pushed now to a third game tonight, 7 o'clock. And I mean, for your benefit, I hope that they pull it off. For my bankroll, I hope that the Brewers win. But for you, I'll pull for the Mets.
See, now you had this saying with your friends for hockey: "Barf, cry, and die." And I thought about this. I'm like, that's not exclusive to hockey. That's any playoffs. It's just the fact that you, as a Chicago fan. You have the Blackhawks. Yeah, you had the 1 year of the Cubs. That was a lot of fun. But, like, for the Bears, you really haven't been through this anxiety.
Barf, cry, and die was almost exclusively the Blackhawks during their Stanley Cup runs. I mean, it felt like, especially, I want to say it was the first one, the 2010 Cup run. It felt like a lot of game sevens, a lot of overtimes, and a lot of barf, cry, and die. It didn't, we knew it was a very talented team, but we also didn't know that this team could win a Stanley Cup because they hadn't done it in so long. So it was barf, cry, and die season. And it happened again, and of course, in 2013 and again in 2015. The Cubs in 2016, I would say, was barf, cry, and die as well, because again, you're talking about a team that was, everybody thought was cursed, and they couldn't get a championship, and there's no way they're going to make it to the World Series, and there's no way they're going to win the World Series, and where's Steve Bartman, and nobody, so that was, and of course, the way it all went down in Game 7, that was probably the ultimate barf, cry, and die for my
fan. So it's just, when your team is in it, this is what makes it kind of fun, that anxiety, and Bills fans, you remember how you felt, right?
13 seconds was a barf, cry, and die game. 13 seconds was a barf, cry, and die game. I mean, you were sick to your stomach. You were elated at moments, and ultimately, you felt like you were going to die.
I would contend also the playoff loss to Kansas City last year.
Where for
it's,
sure.
It's setting up, and then, oh my gosh, you missed the kick. Oh, yeah, like you had it in your grasp. Anytime. And the Mets last night, leading 3-2 in the seventh in a game where... Yeah, they had runners on base. They had all their opportunities to really put their foot on the pedal. They did not. So there's only one series, shocking, that goes to three games. That would be the Mets and Brewers. Everything else kind of wrapping up real quick.
Yeah, we've got a great show lined up for you today. And speaking of the Major League Baseball postseason, Dan Fates, Atlanta Braves, eliminated by the Padres. There are people that believe this, and it's a hard thing for me to fight, that the winner of the Padres-Dodgers series will actually be the winner of the World Series. That series is going to be magnificent.
It's a tell because they put their best team on Fox on that broadcast. So, like, basically, if you look at what you would think it would be, whoever the Phillies get, if it's Mets, Phillies, Brewers, Phillies. No, actually, they're going to the West Coast, so that's going to be Smoltz and Davis, I believe it is. For the Yankee broadcast, I saw this today. It's Bob Costas.
Come on.
Bob Costas, Royals, Yankees.
He's gotten better, right? I feel like he's probably had to have gotten better. Like he's not as sanctimonious as he used to be.
No, he's going to give you a history lesson.
I mean, he calls a good game. I don't want to like discredit Bob Costas. He's a legend in our industry. But he just got a little too sanctimonious. I think this is what we all kind of got tired of. It's like, okay, stop preaching at us. The history lesson is... fine, whatever. I mean,
I'm sure there's going to be some viral moment in this Yankees Royals upcoming series, which is going to be great, by the way. That everybody, heck, for starters, you go back to 1977 to 1978, and there's George Brett's home run in 1980. Like, there's going to be a lot of history that Costas can kind of go over. Dan Fates, who, look. Can I give the Braves credit? I mean, what were they supposed to do this year? They lost their Cy Young.
You have to give them credit.
They lost their MVP. They lost their third baseman. They lost Chris Sale.
No, it was a hell of a job just getting to the postseason. And I think Dan is a rational enough fan to realize it probably wasn't going to be their year with every injury that they were piling on top of each other. That this was as good as it was going to get for this year. They'll be back next year, and they'll be retooled and restacked. And, oh, by the way, we'll talk Bills and Texans with Dan Fates as well when he stops by. We've got some Bills practice notes to get to here in a couple few. Seth Payne from our Odyssey Sports sister station in Houston will be stopping by. That's the pride of Victor, Seth Payne, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're bringing him on, of course, to talk about the football game. I would imagine when the talk in Houston today is, oh, my gosh, for the first time since 2016, the Astros are not in the American League Championship Series. But, we'll take the temperature on Steph Diggs and everything else that's happening with this Texans team who you looked at that Minnesota loss and, oh, that's a bad loss when it happened. But I realized, no, it's not really that bad a loss. So, but the Texan wins this year, Danger? Yeah, they've won, but like you figure you should have dropped the hammer on Jacksonville. You should have dropped the hammer on your Bears. I mean, they've been a little sketch. So what is going on in Houston? Who better ask than the former Jaguar, former Texan, former Victor Blue Devil, Seth Payne, joining us in the Fuller Cup Hour.
Yeah, I wonder a little bit about how many dimensions that offense will have for the Texans, because for the second straight day, both Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce missing practice. They did get back Laremy Tunstall. They did get back Tank Dell. So there's some elements of their offense getting healthier, but who's running? Are we saying Cam Akers? I mean, I think you can stop Cam Akers. I'm fairly certain of that if you're the Bills defense, even if you are shorthanded for another week. And to the Bills practice report, where today, Taron Johnson for a second day in a row wearing the red non-contact jersey, but not taking any contact at all, not hitting any dummies, not doing anything other than being there at practice, participating in the non-contact jersey. So I would imagine, again, that feels like he's going to ramp up to return week six against the Jets with that extra week under his belt. But Terrell Bernard practicing as well. So I would expect to see him back since he was wearing the red contact last week. And Deion Dawkins returning, great news there for the Buffalo Bills offensive line. The concern here, I guess, would be Khalil Shakir is the big one, right?
Yeah, I mean, Shakir came back in, but who knows what that ankle, what the damage really was from that game, and if it's swelling up, and again, they're not going to tell you the extent of it, but Shakir not practicing today could be just one of those, all right, it's hurting, let's just kind of limit it, and we'll get him out there, but I think it kind of brings into focus danger if you're going to take away one of Josh Allen's top weapons here, Khalil Shakir. This is why the Bills, it's one reason why the Bills all of a sudden are being thrown into the mix for Davante Adams.
They should be.
And last night, we've got the report from Albert Breer and others that the Bills are certainly taking the temperature, that they've reached out to the Las Vegas Raiders about Davante Adams, to the fact that, all right, we begin to speculate. Second round pick, you got two of them next year. Why not use one of them and flip? It's not that simple. Meaning, in order to make this happen, the Bills don't have the cap space. Aha. But you could do this by having the Raiders actually convert the base to bonus. He gets the payment up front, and he comes to Buffalo, and he's playing basically on minimum wage in terms of the Bills. And in order to make this happen, kind of like Diggs, you would then kind of wipe away whatever is left on the contract, and he becomes a free agent. It doesn't matter about the compensation or anything like that going the other direction. It's the fact that you actually have to go to Adams and say, hey, you want to go to Buffalo in order to make that happen, sign here. He's got a lot of leverage danger. Like, that is what I just keep coming back to in this situation. That Davante Adams, no, he's not a free agent. And sure, there could be a team. It's not going to be Carolina, but I know Carolina has a lot of cap space. So the Raiders could be like, yeah, you know what? Here you go. And send him on his way. If he wants to go to a contender, likely that contender is going to be up against the cap. In order to make this work, you're going to have to consult with Davante Adams. And this gives Adams an opportunity to weigh his options.
I think Adams wants to go to two places, and they're the two places where his former quarterbacks reside. I think that I love the idea of the Bills reaching out. If those reports are true, that the Bills are reaching out, that they're picking up the phone and they're asking about it, I think that's great. But I think ultimately the Raiders need that. They need other teams to be in the mix because they have no leverage if it's just the Jets or it's just the Saints. And if it's the Jets and the Saints, they're not going to get into a bidding war with each other. And the Jets, I mean, the Jets have a lot of receivers already. They've already brought in guys specifically for Aaron Rodgers. I wonder if they do end up making a deal for Davante Adams. Is one of those receivers being sent to the Raiders? Do they have something to offer the Raiders that no other team may have? Do you send one of those receivers back in exchange for Davante Adams as well as some draft picks, meaning that the Jets would have, I think, the most lucrative return for the Raiders if they wanted to go that path?
Do the Bills need Davante Adams? Yeah, most of us would say, yeah, they need a receiver. Do the Jets need? Is that the Jets' top priority right now? Is it?
I think they've got problems.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a priority, but I think they've got problems. And I think when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, the real GM of the team is going to tell you, yeah, Garrett Wilson isn't working. It's just not working between he and I. We're not on the same page. Mike Williams is nice, but, you know, we don't have that chemistry yet. You know, Rodgers being Rodgers, chemistry matters, and knowing where this guy is going to be and knowing that we have this relationship is why Lazard is there and why Lazard has been kind of somewhat productive early this season for the Jets. I just imagine Rodgers to be a guy who, because, you know, Nathaniel Hackett gives him a ton of rope to hang himself, and you go out there and you just absolutely wing it. Like, if you need to improvise. And when you do that, the guys that you trust are going to be there for you. They're going to be open for you, and it makes your job a lot easier.
The irony danger is the last time that I seem to recall Aaron Rodgers played with Davante Adams, was it not a playoff loss against San Francisco where I'm going to throw the ball deep downfield to, and Adams is covered, the pass doesn't get completed, and there's Alan Lazard standing, you know, all by himself, 25 right. yards down the field.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting. I love that the Bills are in the mix. I'm not holding my breath. I'm not holding my breath that this is something that's going to happen. I feel like what the Raiders are going to command is going to be more than what Brandon Bean wants to give up. And I have a feeling that if there is a team that will have what the Raiders are looking for in terms of a return, that it will probably be one of the Jets or the Saints. And that's exactly what Davante Adams is going for anyways.
We've we've seen teams give up first rounders for wide receivers. The Cowboys for Amari Cooper
would be crazy to me.
I don't, even though that first rounder for Buffalo is going to be safe to say bottom 10, right? You win the division, you're
a first rounder for Devontae Adams at this stage of his career, for me, to me, would be crazy. I don't know that they're getting that in return. Could you get a second rounder and a receiver back? The Jets could probably swing that deal.
Okay, second round and a receiver back from Buffalo. We can all say, I think, most of us would be on board with one of the two second rounders, but there's no receiver. Like, who is the young receiver that the Jets would want?
Here, we'll throw in MVS. Oh, you want Curtis Samuel and his ridiculous contract? No, I don't know that you're getting a receiver back. If you're doing a deal with Buffalo, if you're the Raiders, you could get that back with the Saints. You could get that back potentially with the Jets. And ultimately, I think that's what Adams wants. I think Adams wants to be comfortable and familiar with his quarterback. He's, he wants out because his head coach and he don't get along. Where have we seen this movie before?
Well, there's something we got to give the counterpoint to this too. The Bills just kind of got themselves away from the sort of drama. And I guess if it just is short term, right? Like for Devontae Adams, he's going to want to get paid. He just had a lot of drama on who's right, who's wrong. Who cares? Like whatever happened in Vegas, it's over. Do you want to invite that element into your locker room?
You're talking about a GM who acquired Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown was coming to the Buffalo Bills. He acquired Steph Diggs. Steph Diggs had a reputation in Minnesota. Now, they worked through that reputation, but it turns out Steph Diggs is Steph Diggs. What he was in Minnesota is what he was in Buffalo. He's a competitor, no fault to him, but he brings that baggage with him, and I think Devontae Adams is going to be Devontae Adams. So Brandon Bean doesn't have any fear in that, and that's what you pay your head coach to do. You're managing through these personalities and these egos. If you can do it and it works, you have a great player, another asset. If you do it and it doesn't work, you have disgruntled Steph Diggs like you had last year, and eventually that comes to an end. All good things come to an end, otherwise they wouldn't end. So, Diggs...
Sorry.
I'm a little off my game, you're right. I'm stating the obvious. But I don't think that there's any fear, if you're Brandon Bean, of what kind of attitude are you bringing in? You're bringing in a good football player and a football player who can help you win games. What we said yesterday when we had Maggie Grahan with us, less is more. No, less is not more. More is more. Get more. Get something that will help you win football games. And a lot of people might say, nah, we don't need him. Nah, we don't need to invite that. I would say take that guy. Get that. If you can get that guy, go get him. If it's too rich for your blood, that's fine too. I'm not holding my breath. I love that they're in the mix and they're a conversation piece, but I don't think there's much of a chance that this actually happens where Devontae Adams, if Brandon Bean is listening to the show right now, prove me wrong. Go get him.
Yeah, these aren't all going to be equal offers. Like if it ends up being a second rounder from New Orleans, a second rounder from the Jets,
more valuable.
Yeah. In Minnesota, that's going to be a top. No, it's not. That's going to be at the bottom. There is one thing. Maggie Gray was fantastic on the show yesterday.
Yeah, I love her.
A lot of positive feedback on that. Thanks for everybody, for writing in off of that. I don't agree with her take, though, that the Jets are still a concern in this division. And I think nationally, let me just kind of brace everybody for this. Bills lose in Houston. Is it the end of the world? No. No, it's not.
If they lose the way they lost to Baltimore, then the red flags are going up for me. Then I'm like, okay, kind of what I was thinking about this team going into the season is starting to rear its ugly head, that there's a lack of talent and they're being exposed for that lack of talent.
Okay, if they lose by four scores, that's right. Fair. Yeah, if you lose by four scores, but if you lose down in Houston and it's because, they were passing the ball and are still banged up and you didn't have Shakir, the narrative is going to be like, boy, we really jumped on the Bills. They were the September champions again. Ha, 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 ha. I'm still just comparing the Bills to the other three teams in the division. That's all. And I still think that, yes, the Bills have problems. The Jets have more problems at this point.
I just think that the Jets are poorly coached, poorly managed, and there's some ill feelings in that locker room. There's some obvious ill will in that locker room. It's not the same atmosphere as what the Bills have from a culture standpoint. So I'm saying that on a week where one of your star pass rushers is suspended for four. I don't think that is even a distraction. I don't think that, you know, Von Miller's suspension is a blip for this team. It's not something that's going to derail them. It's not something that they're going to burn a lot of calories thinking about or worried about. They're going to be fine with Von Miller on the shelf for the next 4 weeks.
We haven't talked about it. It's not a story nationally, like Von Miller being gone from the Bills. Like, okay, yeah.
Right. The Jets didn't have anybody suspended this week, but you still hear these murmurs and these rumblings out of that locker room that lead you to believe that something is rotten in Denmark. I'm with you. The one thing that would still concern me and why I might give Maggie a slight lean is I don't know what that defense looks like against the Bills. That defense always seems to step up against the Bills. But the Bills, for losing week one last year, they sure came back and handled the Jets with ease, the Jets without a quarterback with ease. Aaron Rodgers has looked inconsistent, I would say, through 4 weeks this season.
Yeah, as far as London games.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah, this is interesting.
It's a pretty good one.
This is really interesting. And the fact that, you get the Sam Darnold revenge game, too.
You can reach out to us on X. That's Elon's Twitter, at the Fan Rochester, just like Chuck Munchie. That's Chris in South Central Kentucky, one of our regulars. Love the insider peek of the video stream. Mike Danger looks like he's just coming back from a dad run, and Gene Battaglia looks like he's ready for a business casual dinner at TGI Fridays with server extraordinaire Kyle Murray telling him about drink specials. You see what you're missing by not watching the stream on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester?
You know, it's funny, Greg, like when you have to ask somebody for advertising, you just can't show up in a hoodie and shorts. I mean, that's...
I'm not going to lie. I worked from home today. I did go on my dad run this morning, finished the dad run. That's sacred time to me. And I got done with my work got done with my dad run and I got to work. And I'm like, you know what? Today's a casual day. Tomorrow we got to get all souped up for Friday Night Rivals. And we got a big, big show tomorrow afternoon as we're live tomorrow afternoon as we are for another Friday Football Talk live at Three Heads Brewing on Atlantic Avenue. We welcome you to join us from 3 until 6. And enjoy the new Leaping Hazy IPA, your new favorite beer this football season with the greatest beer level of all time. Reservoir Dogs will be serving up the hot dogs and the burgers as well. We welcome you out to Three Heads, 3 until 6, Atlantic Avenue, neighborhood of the arts. We'll have another fantastic Friday Football Talk live for you tomorrow afternoon from 3 until 6. Dan Fates from BuffaloPlus.com. Dan Fates from 13 Wham Sports. Stopping by the sports bar next with his notes from today's practice in Orchard Park. And maybe we'll talk a little Major League Baseball postseason as well. We'll see if Gene behaves with Dan Fates next on The Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen named the AFC Offensive Player of the Month. This for his exploits in September. Now it's on to Houston, talking about that Texans defense.
They got a couple vans that are really fast. They do a good job of getting to the quarterback. In the back end, obviously everyone knows the corner they got in Derek Stingley. Great young player. Seemingly makes plays on the ball week in and week out. So got to make sure we're aware of what we're doing. And again, sticking to the game plan of what we got.
Deion Dawkins back at practice today. Wide receiver Khalil Shakir not practicing. We'll talk to 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus's Dan Bates coming up next year in the Sports Bar. It's the deciding game 3 in Milwaukee tonight. The Mets and Brewers winner to face Philadelphia on Saturday. Buffalo Sabres open the season on the road tomorrow in Prague, taking on the Devils. Our coverage will begin at 1 p.m. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
We invite you to check out the work that our next guest, along with Mike Catalana and Jenna Cottrell, are doing at BuffaloPlus.com, covering the Buffalo Bills and 13 Wham Sports as well. Dan Fates, good with his time and joining us for his weekly visit here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. What camp are you in, Dan? Should they go out and get Devontae Adams? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been team wide receiver, make the move. I just don't think it's going to be a realistic play in the sense of I don't think the Bills are going to hit the panic button after 4 weeks and, you know, maybe not the offensive production that they maybe expected. I think they built this team knowing what they had. I would love to make the move. I am team salary cap isn't real. You can make anything work. I think Adams would be a perfect fit and would help take some of the gravity away from Dalton Kincaid and maybe open some things up. I think it would be a fit. I also understand he's 30-something years old. He does cost some money, and I just don't think Bean will make the move. But I would love it. I just don't expect it to happen.
Dan, if it's not Adams, though, we're going to be hearing more and more names, whether it's, hey, look at the receivers in Cincinnati that aren't happy, or, hey, there's sure. Deontay Johnson on an expiring contract. If it's not Adams, should it be someone else, maybe even it's a kind of a lesser name?
Maybe. I know that's a bad answer to the question. It's just they had all offseason to make moves and to do these things. I just, as of right now, one bad game where this everybody eats philosophy didn't pan out. I don't sense a ton of panic. This isn't, as long as Khalil Shakir's ankle isn't a long-term thing, I think they are happy with what they have in the offense they built. I think they got away from their game plan in Baltimore, but I just don't see them adding somebody that they could have maybe added during the off season, if that makes sense. I know Beans made this moves, and you know, went out and got Kelvin Benjamin a few years ago. That one didn't pan out. They got help last year with Rasul Douglas. I just don't see them making a splash. If it's a smaller name, maybe, but I just don't see it, guys.
What about on the defensive line?
Yeah, anybody. How about bodies? How about anybody that can make a tackle? That would help. Wow. Look, and I know I have been a defender of these safeties since training camp, where I said Sean McDermott will get Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin to be fine. I said early on in training camp DeMar Hamlin was going to win the job and Mike Edwards wouldn't. But they looked bad last week, and trust me, I have friends that are smarter than me that have played football, and they were pointing out how bad the safeties looked. Yeah. Well, also when Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver don't have a single tackle, that's not great either. The safeties are good enough to kind of be sufficient. They're not going to be Pro Bowlers, but they're going to be left out to dry when your defensive line and linebackers play as poorly as they did. It was a failure as an entire unit. They need to get more physical. That was something Sean talked about. I would love to see a bigger body. What was it last year? They got Linval Joseph.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see some beef up there. Dwayne Carter played well in mop-up duty against Baltimore. Maybe he gets more in the rotation than he has earlier in the year. But I would be in favor of any beef that could be added to this defensive line, because from the first week of the season, I have been concerned about their rushing defense. It was exposed against Baltimore. It wasn't great against Miami. Wasn't great against Arizona. They need to get more physical up there.
Dan, we did have a story on Tuesday that just, you know, seemingly came out of nowhere, because we were told by Von Miller himself that the case was closed. Not in the eyes of the NFL. I'm hearing like Mike Catalana's voice is, I think the reaction for most of it's been, okay, Von Miller's not going to be here. Oh, okay. It doesn't seem like this is a big factor in terms of the next four games, in terms of whether the Bills will win or lose.
Yeah, he hasn't really been the... Look, I said it when he had the sack against Jacksonville and the team celebrated when they were up 25 like they were going to the Super Bowl. He did still have a little bit of that closing pop, the closer ability to get after the quarterback, like, you know, when he was first with Buffalo and didn't have the ACL injury. That was encouraging to see. I know he's had success analytically on some pass rush win rates and things like that. but he's been non-existent in the running in the running game, and that's been a big problem. So it kind of is. It is also maybe Bills fans are just numb to the fact of, oh, the Bills lost another player on defense. Like, yep, that happens. Yep. And it's like, okay, like somebody's got to pick up the pieces. Sean McDermott said, you know, that Javon Solomon would be one of the first guys to get an opportunity or an increased role. But maybe because it is just four games and maybe because it is a suspension and not an injury that you think could linger, is what it, you know, it's Vaughn again. You know, like they're still kind of paying the bill for his actions. And again, he's hurt the team on the field, unfortunately, with his injury. That happens, but he's also hurt the team off the field now.
Dan, can we talk about usage for a little bit? Because that was another thing that kind of came out of the loss on Sunday night. And Curtis Samuel being a part of that trick play kind of puts the interrogation light squarely on him. Like, oh, when you show up, that happens? So let's talk a little bit about how they've used Samuel here. Mostly, I think, as a decoy in like pre-snap motion so far through 4 weeks of the season. And for 3 years and $24 million, I think we all want a little bit more. And furthermore, let's talk a little bit about how they've used or not used Dalton Kincaid. Are they getting the most out of their first-round draft pick from last year?
Yeah, Samuel has been a disappointment just because, and again, I didn't even think about it until somebody brought it up, the fact that he's the highest-paid wide receiver on the roster and that you really haven't gotten anything out of him. This is where, guys, this everybody-eats philosophy kind of goes stale when the offense all of a sudden can't move the ball and you don't have anybody that can separate, and everybody kind of their forte is within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. That was a concern heading into the season. The first three games, it was fine. But to not have a downfield threat, and Curtis Samuel is not a downfield threat guy. Like, that's, yes, he's very fast, but that's never been his game. So people that were saying, oh, like he could be a vertical threat, that's not him. He is a catch after, he's a yards after the catch kind of guy. And there really hasn't been any opportunities for him to get anything going. Now, Josh did miss him. I think it was in week two when he had the wheel route that Josh kind of missed him on, or maybe that was Arizona. But he had a chance early on and didn't hit him. But besides that, he's been disappointing, to say the least. And the Dalton Kincaid thing was my concern heading into this offseason of, yes, he had a great rookie year. There's no question about it. The 75 catches, the yards, all of those things. But you had a guy like Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs is a guy that is a gravitational pull that defenses have to be aware of. And then we saw in Arizona, he got triple teamed, and teams are taking Dalton Kincaid away. And it is not easy to have your number one target, in theory, be a tight end. It's just, you have to be one of the greats to be a tight end and have the offense's passing game go through you. You're talking about Kelce's. You're talking about Gronk's. You're talking about Tony Gonzalez-type guys that can carry an offense from the tight end position. It's just not that easy to sit there and say, even Greg Kittle, even Mark Andrews, great tight ends, all-pro tight ends. They're not the focal point of an offense. It's tough to do that. So I would love to see Kincaid catch a ball more than 5 yards down the field. That would be kind of cool for me because all these bubble screens have feels like defenses have been able to kind of smother them and kind of constrict their yards after the catch because everything has been so close to the line of scrimmage.
Dan, I knew you were in Baltimore, so you didn't hear Collinsworth bring up the name Stephon Diggs when the Bills were behind, and it's not a new topic with us talking to you here and since we last talked. Oh, there's an ESPN Jeremy Fowler, and okay, I didn't really learn anything there, so.
Nope.
I don't think we're going to learn anything new between now and then. Maybe I'm wrong, but what do we expect? Say that 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Eastern range there. Are we getting manhogs between Diggs and Allen? I'm not expecting manhog between Diggs and McDermott, by the way.
No, I don't think we'll see that. That may be a pat on the back, a good to see you kind of thing. With Josh, it was funny. Mike and I were talking about it driving back from practice yesterday, the fact of, When's the time? We set it at like 11:06 as the over-under time before or after that. You know, Josh is throwing. I can see it now. He's probably at midfield talking with Case Keenum, who's on the Texans. They're probably laughing and joking, having a conversation. Diggs walks up, and the big thing is the interaction needs to be longer than a hey, high five, but it can't be longer than like 30 seconds because then we'll know it's fake. Like, it has to be a hey, how's everything going? Hope all is well. Great to see you. Like, 15 to 20 seconds, and then they go back to it. Like, this is, and again, and I respect Josh saying, like, no, I haven't talked to him. Like, and he also said, like, that it's not unusual to not talk to a former player.
Right.
Like, so, again, I thought Mike asked the best question at the press conference yesterday. The Hall of Famer that he is said, like, Josh was so professional with all of his answers. And they were a little bit more on the shorter side as he was batting away questions about Diggs and things like that. But Mike kind of asked him, like, you do understand why this is a big deal, right? Like, you do understand that, you know, this quarterback-wide receiver duo and this is a story. And Josh was like, yeah, but it's not that unusual. And to that I would kind of push back because, one, it's obviously it's the wide receiver-quarterback relationship that they had, which was very loving for the most part, was what we saw. Not every quarterback and wide receiver were on the cover giving piggyback rides on SI Kids magazines. Like, that was a little different. And so when it went south, seemingly, it is going to be a conversation. And I don't think the conversation, I think this will be a step to put behind him, Josh, that is. But I don't think the Diggs conversation, if the offense doesn't get as more production out of the wide receiver position, I don't think this conversation goes away. Like, I still, again, we were joking around in Baltimore. I go, if you looked at the Bills wide receiver stats, like if you looked at their season stats through three games, you would have probably thought that was an 0-3, 1-2 team. Like, it's not a ton of production. And for as good as Khalil Shakir has been, it's not like he's having Nico Collins numbers. It's not like he's having Justin Jefferson numbers. Like, he's a solid 6 for 70. That's nice. But so this will be interesting, as we like to say, and we joke around about in the podcast as the our crutch words. It'll be interesting to see their interaction, but it's got to be more than a handshake, but it can't be more than a giggle fest where you're like, this isn't real.
Yeah, Dan, let's talk a little bit about that matchup on Sunday, because we know that they have weapons on the outside. We know that CJ Stroud is emerging, and he's you know, having another good, productive season so far. We also know that their running game is beat up, that Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce haven't practiced this week, and I believe Cam Akers is who would be on deck if those guys can't go. Are we looking at that as an opportunity for the Bills defense, knowing that the Texans offense might be a little bit one-dimensional, and that Texans defense has some teeth as well? What do we think about the matchups going into Sunday?
Yeah, I think this is a better matchup than it was against the Ravens, not only just because of the running game, but the Texans offense, for as explosive as it can be, has looked a little stale. And when Mike talked to Seth Payne, who covers the Texans in Houston, he kind of talked about, like, the big difference was Mixon. Like, when C.J. Stroud can be under center and has Mixon behind him, there's a different level. Like, you talked about being two-dimensional. Like, then they can really kind of be dynamic and use play action and all of those kind of things. But when you're asking C.J. Stroud to just straight up be in the gun and pick defenses apart, which he can, it's not as explosive. Diggs still is in this downfield threat. He's still having a very productive year because, of course, he is. He's still a very good NFL wide receiver. Nico Collins is the beast. But it's funny. I'm never concerned. I know this is weird, about opposing wide receivers. I mean, go back for the last year and a half. Mike, I can't think of a wide receiver that went quote-unquote off against the Bills. A lot of running backs have gone off.
Yeah.
Teams have gone off on the ground against the Bills. But Rasul Douglas has shut down CeeDee Lamb. They've shut down Garrett Wilson. I think Jamar Chase and T. Higgins kind of had like 7-70 against them one game. But they've never really gotten destroyed by a wide receiver. So if the Texans' strength is their passing game and they're on their third running back, like, I like this matchup, and their defense can get run on for Houston, and especially at the quarterback position. I was just looking back at it right now as I'm trying to do my best bets for this week. You know, Anthony Richardson ran for 56 yards. Caleb Williams ran for almost 50 yards against them. Like, they give up big plays on the ground, and their secondary jumps routes, and they're aggressive, and that pays off sometimes, and other times it doesn't. So I like this matchup a lot more. Again, the injuries on the Bills side still have to get figured out. But I said it last week. I picked the Ravens, but even then I said, I'm picking the Ravens, and I'm probably going to pick the Bills against the Texans. It's just the matchup that I saw.
Dan, one last question about this team, because and we'll find out a little bit more, too, in this game. I don't think Christian Benford was going to factor anyway, because the Ravens didn't need to throw the ball. But his first three games in this this season here for Buffalo, we all expect the next guy to get paid on this team is Greg Rousseau, probably should. But is Christian Benford right behind him?
Yeah, and I don't know what Greg Rousseau's market's going to be. And I know it's a pass rusher and you draft, develop, and resign. But I need to see more in the running game. And again, if there's one thing that the Bills have swung and missed on time and time again, it's edge rushers. They just haven't been able to really hit. And Greg Rousseau is the closest they've come at getting this hit. But what Christian Benford has done in his versatility and the physicality and all of those things and the way that he's emerged as a fifth round pick or fifth or sixth round pick out of Villanova to be this guy. Like, he embodies that McDermott dog football player. Like, that's kind of the thing. So I've said for a while now that I've been a Christian Benford stan account, and I just think that he could be a Taron Johnson level guy. A guy that you may not say is the most talented, but I think he's one of the most important players on the Bills defense. There's no question. And the yin and yang of him with Rasul Douglas, whether it's their personalities and their playing styles, it's just been a really good cornerback duo that I don't think gets enough recognition for how good they are in the grand scheme of this league.
Dan, can we get a requiem on your Atlanta Braves?
I'm free. I'm free, guys. I did the Con Air tweet yesterday when Nicolas Cage, you know, gets the wind to blow through his hair. If you follow along, I have been very down on this team. The injuries were just too much. And the Chris Sale was just icing on top of a season from absolute hell. Having him waiting in the wings to pitch, you know, the biggest game of the season, whether it was game two against the Mets on Monday or things like that. And then he gets back spasms after being absolutely the most dominant pitcher in the National League this year, was just like chef's kiss. Like, it was just absolutely perfect. And I will say, I'm glad they didn't get swept by the Mets on Monday, because that would have been embarrassing at home to get swept by the Mets. But I knew that, unfortunately, it was going to prolong agony to get kicked in the teeth for two more games that I would have to suffer through. So it was a little bit of, yay, now I get to watch this team fail two more times and then be eliminated. So I'm done with this season. Bury it. Burn it. This season sucked. And it's worse because your Mets are going to go to the World Series.
Whoa. No, whoa. I was just going to ask you, Dan, now that we, not just me, you're surrounded by Mets fans in our area. And you,
am I?
You always root for yes, you are. You always root for content. Content. Mets, Phillies, fantastic content. I, on the record, I want to hear Dan Fate saying he is pulling for the Mets tonight against Milwaukee.
No. That's the worst thing about this, is that my timeline is still flooded with these Mets.
Misfits. I've dubbed them as misfits.
Yes, that's. I was going to go with trolls, but I thought that was insulting to trolls. Misfits fits much better. But I think the Mets win tonight. I think they beat the Phillies in four on some fluke. The season to me changed when they were playing the Phillies two weekends ago or whatever, and Alvarez threw the ball to third base as one of the guys was stealing, and the ball hit round base.
It hit a round base
and landed on the base.
Yeah,
that was when I went, this was maybe they're a team of destiny too. They are 100% going to beat the Phillies in four, probably the Dodgers in six, and go to the World Series.
This is a Jedi mind trick. I'm not falling for this Dan Fates trap, because then when this really happens, you can take the credit, but you're not pulling for the Mets.
I never
if you're predicting this, why aren't you pulling for this then tonight? Wouldn't you pull for whatever you predict?
I would love to be wrong here. Oh, I would love to be wrong. I also would love it to be a Diaz blown save. Oh.
Dad,
watch Nimmo's sad face run off the field and Diaz.
What do you guys got coming up here the rest of the week that we can get ready for on Sunday for the Bills and the Texans?
Just
disgusting mess. we have our Buffalo Plus live show every Thursday, 7:15 on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. Mike caught up with Seth Payne. He was another guy from Rochester.
Yeah.
Played for the Texans. Mike caught up with him, talked about C.J. Stroud, Jerry Hughes, those kind of things. I'm working on my best bets. And then Mike and Jenna are off to Houston. We usually do a 5 players to watch for the game and all that good stuff.
Well, if you're not going to go to Houston, Dan, if the Mets do pull this off, you want to come over Saturday or Sunday?
You would hate me there.
So
no. No,
we're so awkward. No. I'm saying no. I'm saying no on your behalf, Dan. You don't even listen to this guy. It's unbelievable. Thanks for the time, buddy.
As always, guys, you're the best.
You got it. There's Dan Fates, 13WAMSportsBuffaloPlus.com. A very cordial invite, I'm sure. You wouldn't want him there, and he wouldn't want to be there.
No. No, I just wanted to just see, you know, get him all pissy.
Speaking of Seth Payne... Yeah, he's going to join us
than
an hour from now.
Yeah,
he'll be joining us as well, and we'll dive into this matchup with Seth Payne, who does mornings at our Odyssey Sports sister station, Sports Radio 610, a Section 5 superhero guy from Victor High School, the pride of Victor High School, Victor Hall of Famer. Seth Payne stopping by at 425.
Still has the area code on his phone. They love that.
Yeah, never let go of the 585. It's perfect. We're going to come back with more next, including Seth Payne. More from today's practice as the Bills prepare for that trip to Houston on Sunday. And your phone calls. We have time for them. 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.